I have a question for the children. What do you think about maturity? Only children can answer this. Yes. When you mature, you're allowed to do more things. All right, yes. Yeah. So when you're mature, you can tell your children to do things and they'll do it, right? That's just, yeah, you can tell the children, hey, come on, do this, and they'll do it. Yes. When you get mature, you get bored. When you get mature, you get more boring. Can you understand that? That's what they think of us. Yes. When you're mature, you have a deeper voice. That's him. When you are mature, you have a lot of responsibilities. Is that the way you think about maturity? Oh my goodness. Yes. When you mature, your parents let you free. You can fly. What? When you mature, you can slip in. Yeah. Hold on, we're going to hear that young gentleman there. I didn't hear that. Who can say that loudly? Can you repeat it loudly? Yeah, you mature, be respectable. Okay. One more and then we gotta go. Yes. When you mature, you have responsibilities. Awesome. Okay, let's talk about this for a while. You know, to be mature is many things, and that's what the children feel. Some feel like it's boring, and that's a sad place to be. Some think we get more responsibility. That's also a great place to be, depending on how, because maturity comes with a responsibility. Let's just face it. You cannot get away from that. But maturing in Christ is another ballgame. Because the idea that I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm set in life. There is a growth that I need to attain and keep growing in so that I can grow in my Christianity. And so it's possible that if you're not mature in Christ, you don't see God properly or experience God in the real sense. And sometimes churches can be immature. You know that? When people are immature in Christ, who do they focus on? Some focus on their preacher. Who is the preacher in your place? That's what they focus. They don't focus on Jesus, right? Some focus on, you know what? How much money do I have even though I'm a Christian? Just prosperity and not Jesus. Does that make sense? Others focus on, who am I going to get married to or marry? And that's not also maturity. Does that make sense? In other words, we cannot do Christianity by allowing the world to define what Christianity looks like. It's different. The Christian who is mature comes to the view that God is in control and does make changes at his time, his own time, and his role is to play his part, but be patient. The last one is key, patient. Because the difference between maturity and children is children do what they want to do anyway. They cry, they want something, they do it there and there. Well, adults, you can wait. You can say, let's see what happens. So it's different. Let's talk about this. Maturity reflects Christ. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have heard that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who is in the Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. That part of being a mature Christian is to reflect Jesus Christ more and more. Have you ever gone to the bathroom and forgot to put on the vent, and you shower with hot water and all the mirrors in the bathroom were fuzzy? So even if you dressed and came and looked at yourself, you cannot see yourself properly because it's all fuzzy. It's the water is drooling there. You cannot see yourself. And that is part of a young Christian. You walk in your Christian faith, but there's a lot that is not clear to you. As you stay with God and as you clean that mirror, clearly you can see yourself. Have you ever cleaned your mirror so well and gone in there and looked at yourself? And there's no smudge of from brushing your teeth, and you don't confuse yourself with that smudge of toothpaste and all that stuff. You just see yourself. It's amazing, right? I believe that Christians that are submerged with the Word of God reflect Jesus Christ more. What are you reflecting? Do you reflect your culture more? Do you reflect your world more? Or do you reflect Jesus? If I never knew you and I just came here, would I say, this guy's different, this woman is different, this young person is different? What do you reflect? And it's not perfection. It is the persistence of growth and wanting to hear from God. You know, the idea that when you grow up and you have you know, the way we think of maturity is maybe growth of the body and we are old enough. Well, there is much more that happens in maturing us inside. How we deal with different things. And all parents know what we're talking about. When you have a child, when you're single and you're in your 20s, okay, let's back up. At 14, you know everything. Nobody knows anything than you. At 14, you know everything. And your parents are dull and dumb. That's what you think. Then as you keep coming and you're going through some challenges, at 21 you start wondering, do I know everything? Then you start trying to settle down. And the point at 21, between 21 and 25, you think, well, it's my life. I want to do what I want to do. Then you realize you need people. So the humbling effect begins to happen to you. At 14, you knew everything. As you get older, you realize, you know, they know some stuff. This guy knows some stuff. And then you get there, you're thinking, oh my goodness, I think it's my life. That's your God. It's my life. I can do what I want to do with it. Then you realize, no, we gave you that life through God, and we can help you, buddy. What's the problem with that? Well, I'm this age. I said, that's true, you're that age, but we can help you. And then you get married. Between 21 and 25, you're thinking the best. And then you get married and you discover, oh my goodness, I have weakness. Many weaknesses. Then you think, I have a handle of this. And then the child is born. God help you. Because they begin to remind you of everything you're not. And now you cannot argue because the reflection is right there. It talks right back to you and you're angry with it. And you're, why do you remind me? Well, here's the deal. Maturity is very much similar. If you don't handle that well, you don't reflect Christ because you're in denial. And part of maturity is accepting the realities we face. The reason Christianity, you know, our Christian faith is we're not growing is we're not accepting the realities we have in our lives. We are fighting. We're in denial. But I'm a Christian. That is not the point. We know that. But can you deal with life as a Christian? In other words, there's a challenge. Submit to God. Let God help you with that. If we understand that, we reflect Jesus Christ more. If we don't, we judge, we put down, we blame. We do all kinds of things that are not like Jesus Christ. They're more like the world. The world is a blaming place. The world is a critical place. The world puts down people. The world does not have compassion. So we don't reflect Christ. We reflect our culture more than Jesus Christ. What are you doing at home? What are you doing in the office? Are you showing Jesus or are you showing more who you are culturally? It is this maturity that leads people to Christ. Second, maturity recognizes God's heart.
Galatians 4, verse 1 through 7. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father had heard, they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. In other words, there's a will there. And if he says you'll only touch this wealth when you turn 21, then you can get it. Or if you're like grandpa who says the only person allowed to sell this land is the grandchildren. Each time the grandchildren gets there, he realizes, I can't sell that. Only the grandchildren can get to it. Do you get that point? Yeah, it's a way of tricking everyone so that you never sell the land. It's given to the grandchildren, never you. So he says they have to obey the guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it is with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. That before we knew Christ, we were like children. We went with how we felt. We did things out of pride and not humility. We were like children. Until God says, you know what? You have to attain this level for you to be set free. Now, here we go. Then he says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law, from this world. God sent him to buy freedom for us who are slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, further. Now you are no longer slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Here's the issue. You're God's child, meaning you have been taken out of the world and now you become part of God's family. And what that should lead you to is to recognize God's heart. To recognize God's heart, you have to be in the family with him. You have to know who this person is. If you foster a child, they're not in your family yet. You understand that? When you're fostering a child, they're coming through, you're thinking, well, maybe we may have a family with them, maybe not. At that point, the child is very, he's not, some children are very secure, and so they're trying very hard to be a part of that family. Does that make sense? Or at that point, they're not trying because I don't want to try and then I'm not part of this family. It can go either way. And at that point, it's the unsure. I believe as Christians, we can be at that point of fostering in our relationship with God. We're either not trying at all, we're indifferent. We don't want to try because what if it doesn't work out? So our prayers are not faithful, we're not committed to anything. We're just like, we don't want to try anything. Or we're trying so hard, we're trying to prove it to ourselves. We're not in love with God. And says he's called us our children. Now, the stage that moves from fostering is you adopt the child. What happens when the child is adopted is that you begin to connect heart to heart. You talk about different things. It's your child now. So we work more. We are connected more. So now that we're adopted by God, we need to connect with our heart. What happens over years, that child will know who you are, even though they were adopted in your home. They know exactly who you are. They have connected to your heart, right? They know what makes you hurt, knows what makes you happy. They figured that out. What happened? They connected to your heart. So I have a question to you. Do you know God's heart? If I challenge you today, say, you know, give me two scriptures that talk about God's heart. What would you do? Can you recognize that easily? If you can't recognize that, it might be a challenge for you to say, you know, because I don't understand God's heart, it's hard for me to connect to God. And that is not something I can do for you. You'll have to start doing something for you. That's part of maturing. It's connecting to God's heart. As you have a relationship with your child, you connect and you start growing. That's what happens. So if we're maturing, we can recognize God's heart. If we are not maturing, we cannot figure it out. We are confused with the world. Think about it. A lot of how we act is based on how we feel, not God's heart. But if we change that and says, I want to act in a way that shows God's heart, that'll be different. There'll be less anger. There'll be more patience, more love, more compassion, more understanding. A lot of people would feel the love of God. That is in everything we undertake. So you have to understand the maturity requires your heart so that you can connect to God. Does that make sense? Thirdly, maturity says no to worldly principles. I mean, the world says, do what you want to do. The world says, don't be patient. The world says, you don't want to listen to anyone. That's the world. The Bible says, yeah, before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to the so-called gods that do not even exist. I mean, we have gods in our lives, right? These gods come range from money all the way to internet gods. Right? They have this internet gods. If the internet says it, it has to be true. And I say, it's not true. It's not been checked out. We have all gods, gods of image, gods of... they don't even exist. They are our gods because we bow down to that. We are afraid to be just ourselves because these gods dictate who they are and they don't even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say, now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? Why do we call ourselves Christians and still want to live in a worldly way? See how the guilt comes to you? You get ashamed. You worry. I mean, I call myself a Christian, but look at how I'm living. Why do you want to go back to that principle? I mean, let's talk about something that we tend to do. And in today's world, we have to talk about media and how we get online. Some of the things we really put out there doesn't show Christianity. We get angry because a politician said X, Y, Z. Can I tell you something? The Bible says pray for those in authority. It doesn't say you agree with them. It says pray for them. That's the biblical principle. Pray for those in authority. You don't agree with them, but pray for them. How are we going to change the world if we talk like the world? How are we going to change the world when we ridicule like the world? How are we going to change the world when we are just like them? Pardon my language. I don't mean the world is there are less people like us. I'm simply saying we've got to be godly to bring people to Jesus Christ. And my point is, maturity is not being like the world. Even when people are rude, don't be rude back to them. That's the world principle. Be patient. Love them. You see, if you don't get this right, the Spirit of God will not walk with you. And you'll be a stuck Christian, angry. Let me talk to you guys who are going to go to work tomorrow. There'll be politics, there'll be all kinds of things tomorrow in your office. Be godly around that stuff. Let me talk to all of us today, even some of you may be on the phone right now. Please pay attention. Don't go on that Facebook, Instagram, and write silly stuff and then call yourself a Christian. And I said, but this guy said it. The standard is not that guy or that guy or that preacher. The standard is God. We've got to come back to the principles of God. It is true. It is what it is. Does that make sense? We've got to take care of what God wants us to be. Then we're maturing as Christians. That transforms the church. Maturity humbles one before God. Well, humble, my goodness, that word can scare some people. Because our experience of humility is that people take advantage of you. So we've taught ourselves that the last time I was humble, they took advantage of me. I'm never doing that. You're the kind of guy that says, because I had an accident on 29, I'm never driving on 29. That's not very healthy. We say you're stuck. You need to get some help. You need to get back on 29 and drive safely, even though you had an accident there. Does that make sense? Let's talk about this. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So humble yourselves. The preceding scripture is about people having the wrong motives and nothing working for them. And then it says, so humble yourselves before God. The principle of God is quite amazing. God exalts the humble, not the world. The world says, God, the favor is with the brave. It's not in the scripture. And that's a cliche. The scripture actually says, God exalts the humble. If you think deeply about what the Bible says, it is mind-boggling how the world has moved away totally from God. They are million and million years away. And yet, because we live in this world, it's very possible that we've not taken time to allow the Word of God to guide the way we think. I've been reading scriptures just about peace and trusting God and all that stuff, and I'm shocked how I can be moved away. And as that happened, God does something that always say, okay, let me test if you're trusting me. And I said, I'm like, what? And I'm like, I just need to practice what I read. How difficult is that? But you need friends that help you to do that as well. You need God, but you need friends that help you to do that as well. To submit before God, resist the devil. So you're submitting, but you're also resisting the devil. So you're saying no to sin, and he will flee, and the sin will flee from you. Come close to God. You have to choose, make that choice. Submission is the choice that I want to be close to God, and he says, I'll be close to you. So God is not trying to take over by force. Young people, God is not trying to make your life miserable. You submit yourself to God, and you'll find freedom. The world promises freedom, but it gives you slavery. God promises freedom, but he wants you to submit first. So a lot of people think that being a Christian takes away our freedom. Contrary to the truth, actual submission brings you freedom. And the world gives you everything else, but enslaves you. God does not want to take over your life. He wants to free you from sin, from all the slavery that takes over our lives, emotions, anger, and all that stuff. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands. You sinners, purify your hearts. There's washing of hands, washing of our hearts, making sure that we're changing. I think that many people want to be Christians without changing. And I also think that many Christians want to be Christians and say, "I've stopped." When is the last time you deliberately said, I'm repenting of something? I think we became Christians. In the early age of Christianity, we are repenting. We're doing a lot. But then, midway, we don't repent. You know, midlife crisis? Well, let's talk about that, the gentleman. Midlife crisis is when you start bringing out your chains, come on your neck, and you're dressed younger than your age. Midlife crisis is when you buy your sports car and you're riding. You know, midlife crisis is when you put a bit of demand on your wife sometimes if you're married and you're trying to get her to dress younger. You're like, okay, we're still here. We're not dying. We're still here. We're fighting. And I think that sometimes church can go through midlife crisis. It's just about how we look and how we. It's not about God. It's just our need, my need. When you're in midlife, it can be very much about your need. So how do you know? I'm right there. I'm cruising that direction. I'm like, all right, here we go. What happened? Midlife crisis, you may think like you have a license to say anything you want to say. See, I've been around a long time. I can tell you what I think. I paid my dues. So wait a minute. It's about God. It's not your dues and what you paid and all that stuff. When is the last time you repented? Just repented. Say, you know, I need to repent. You know, I need to stop talking to my wife like this. I need to stop talking to my husband like this, a brother, a sister, my children, whatever it is. When is the last time you repented? Maturity humbles. You got to be humble to repent. But the biggest challenge when you are older as a Christian is that you are hurt and hardened. When you get hurt, you get hardened. You've seen people that have been through stuff and they are battle hardened. They don't care. No, you need to be humbled and let yourself softened by the troubles of this life. You know, sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and I say, I don't like that guy because that guy seems angry. So I need to repent of anger and figure whatever that's coming from. I need to just be humble and just be okay. The world tells me, don't be him. But I said, no, I'll trust God. I don't trust the world. God is the creator of me. He knows what's best for me. And some of us need to repent of that anger and just let go of stuff and say, you know what, God, help me. Help me. Let me be humble before you. Things will be different. Amen? Maturity is not vengeful. You've heard the law that says that punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Man, you get my tooth, I get yours. But I said, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other also. Principle is, don't pay back. I'm not sure you're going to be saying, slap me, but the principle is, don't pay back. Does that make sense? Because we all get worn up literally with this thing. It's just the principle is, don't be vengeful. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. The principle is, don't pay back. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry 2 miles. The principle is, don't pay back. Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Be careful if you're borrowing, you're not paying. That's not good. So don't use that scripture. And say, I came to borrow and you didn't give it to me. And the Bible says, when I borrow, don't turn away. You're misusing that scripture. The principle is, do not pay back. There are people you want to get back to. There are people you wish death for them. There are people you're angry with them. Bible says, don't pay back. Why? Because God takes care of everyone. God takes care of everyone. You may think they're getting away. Nobody gets away. For what you plant, you will reap. What you sow will come right back. You cannot get away from that. You may go for years. It comes back. Saul is in the Bible. Abraham is in the Bible. Jacob is in the Bible. Everybody's in the Bible, and you can see the principles there. You can't get away from that stuff. So then learn to do the right thing now. Trust God. He'll take care of you. You know, I've been in places where I felt so vengeful. I'm like, man, I could go back there and just let them have it. And then my wife would say, you know, you're not acting in a God way right now. Even at that point, I'm like, why are you telling me that? Well, I'm like, well, I can't say that's the truth. At least sometimes you have the fear of God in your head, you know. You're thinking, oh, I can't say that, you know. That's not the right thing to say. No, you got to let go of that stuff and let God deal with that stuff. But you know why we don't like that? Because we're not in control. God is. We like to be in control. The illusion of control. Nobody's in control. Only God is. You think you're in control? No, you're not. You breathe because God wills you to breathe. You think you'll get home? Well, by the grace of God, I'll tell you. I don't know, but I hope you do. I'm not trying to scare you. It's by the grace of God. You are stuck and mortgaging your happiness because you want revenge. You want to be revenge. You got to let go of that stuff. Maturity is that. That's maturity. My grandfather made his name by beating people up and taking land. And that's how I end up with this Mukenya name. This is, that name was that he was taking the whole too much land. As he converted to Christianity, as the missionaries came by, he gave a lot away, a lot, and changed totally. It's a different guy. And I said to him, you're a small guy. How did you do that? It was the technique. It has nothing to do with size. It's technique. How did you win this battle? It's technique. They underestimated my size. But I changed so much, everybody loves me. That's what you got to understand. Change. And God will walk with you in your favor. Amen? Amen? But change is, you have to get to a point where you see what needs to change. It doesn't just happen. What needs to change in you? That's when it begins to happen. Maturity in Christ serves others and community. Let's try and finish here. Matured in Christ, serves others and community. God saved you by His grace God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Verse 10 is what I want to talk about. For we are God's masterpiece. You are a masterpiece from God. Amazing masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He planned for us long ago. Question. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? You're a masterpiece. How have you let God walk with you? The poor, the needy, the lost souls. How do you serve? We live in a world that is making serving less interesting. Everything is automated. We need to not forget the heart of serving. When is the last time you served in your house? Brought people in your house. Welcomed them in your house. Say, come on, visit. And served them. We are saved not to live for ourselves, but to serve other people. That is what maturity is all about, is you give of yourself. When you're a child, you receive a lot because at that level you need to receive. But in reality, you need to serve other people. Maturity in Christ serves others and community. We've got to get in our communities and serve there. Amen? We all like to say, I am busy, I am tired, I can't do it. I say, you know what? Prioritize. Slow down. And get time to get involved with the community. Talk to the neighbors. Take a moment and reach out to the neighbor and say hello to them. And say, I just wanted you to know that I live next door and how are you doing? Why today? Because the Spirit says so. What Spirit? Of God. That'll be a good conversation starting point. What are you talking about? Yeah, let me tell you about Jesus. Finally, but not least. Maturity appreciates God's mystery. Let's finish here. Romans 11, 34, 35. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give Him advice? And who has given Him so much that He needs to pay it back? Let me just finish by saying, God has humor, amen? Amen. So my last point was maturity appreciates God's mystery. I don't know why we had to walk out and walk in, but there was a mystery going on over there. So, the point I want to make for us is that you cannot figure out everything about God. If you do, you don't understand the mystery of God. God cannot fit in your small brain. I'm not trying to abuse your brain. It's a good one. I'm just saying it's small. I know it can do more, but it's small compared to God. And God created it. It's amazing. You don't have to figure out everything. So, I guess that was my illustration of God. He said, get out, get back. May God bless you.